Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, we've all lost things. We've searched everywhere for them at some time or other, sometimes even desperately. Try to figure out where the heck they might be. Maybe the car keys, or a special recipe for roast pork that we promised to make and we can't find the thing. Or the electric bill, because we're positive it's due this week. And once again, we can't find it. Or the registration title of the car. Put it somewhere where you know you can find it and you can't remember where you put it. Or a wallet. Or a purse. A checkbook. The grocery list you were so careful to sit down and work through. And now you're ready to go to the car and go shopping, and you can't find it. A wedding invitation. You add your own example, but you know what I mean. We lose things, maybe not cheap, but we lose things and just about everything sometime or other. We've also changed our minds about things. Initially made one decision, and then sometime a little later decided, well, no, I can think that through again. Made a decision to go to dinner or join a committee, and then said, that was a mistake. I better try to figure out how to get out of this. Or, as a child, really hated some kind of food. Maybe it was mushrooms or peas or good strong cheese. And then later on in our life, we said, you know, that's not so bad. I really like it. Or we disliked someone in the neighborhood or even the family or at work. We disliked them as kind of standoffish or opinionated, but later on we came to appreciate them. We saw a different side to them that we hadn't witnessed before, and they became more attractive, maybe even friends. We know what it means to lose something. We also know what it means to change our minds about something. God is enormously patient with us, like parents who know how to deal with the temper tantrums of a 2-year-old child, or have learned how to deal with the petty rebellions of teenagers, because they understand it's all part of a process of children trying to establish their own limits and their own personalities and figure out who they are. Good and wise parents know also, however, how to set boundaries, how to give slack for the learning curve, and for the mistakes that come along the way for every single one of us. The rest of the gospel this morning, which was not yet proclaimed, is the ancient parable of the prodigal son or prodigal daughter losing his way, saying, and this is not said in the gospel, but it's assumed, saying to the parent, as far as I'm concerned, you are dead. Give me your money. Give me my money. It's a terrible thing. But that's part of the parable that we're about to hear now. Or perhaps the older child. In either case, this is a prodigal father, not a prodigal son, who is lavish with forgiveness to all who need it and ask for it. True mercy is not blind. True mercy recognizes that we all fall short. That all the time, no matter what the best of our intentions may be, we all fall short. And so it isn't just giving it to somebody else, it's recognizing that we need it. I continue to be intrigued by something that happened when Pope Francis was initially elected. And he met with a journalist who said, Holy Father, you're from South America. We don't know much about you. Who are you? And he said, I'm a sinner. And they said, well, all right, who are you? What have you done, over these years in South America and in Argentina? Tell us about yourself. He said, I'm a sinner. A profound statement. We all have old hurts that we've hung on to for one reason or another, unfinished arguments that we return to when we're driving in the car all by ourselves. We rehash things. At least I confess I do that once in a while. There's something that wasn't finished, and I felt the need to say something to it and never got the chance. And so when I'm in my car and at a stop sign, I go back to it and say, this is what I wanted to say. Or when we're unable to sleep, we rehash some old arguments that never were finished until we finally let them go. We recognize at a certain point in life that we need slack, even ourselves. It's because we realize that we're part of the problem. It's not just them. Every once in a while, it's good to recall that delightful popular poem about the fellow who arrived in heaven. I tried to remember the author. I couldn't. But the fellow who arrived at heaven and showed up and was absolutely shocked to see who was there. Unworthy, unacceptable scoundrels. And they were in heaven. And he was just shocked by that. Until he looked again and saw they were all shocked to see him there. We need mercy. Whether we're young rebels or older, maybe even bitter, self-righteous oldsters, we're all lost. We need to be found. God is willing to wait until we come to our senses and realize that profound truth. Every time we say the Our Father, we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those around us. And somehow make our forgiveness contingent on the way that we extend that same forgiveness to others. That's a remarkable, remarkable statement, because God lets us set the conditions for our own forgiveness. So listen again to the rest of the gospel. It continues after the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. And after a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. And when he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to take care of the pigs. And he longed to eat his fill on the pods on which the pigs fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying of hunger. I shall get up, go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. So just treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up, went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Well, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered the servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it, and then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found." And then the celebration began. Now, the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this was all about. The servant said to him, "Well, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, the father came out, pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. And when this son of yours returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughtered the fatted calf." Father said to him, "My son, you're here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." The good news of the Lord. It's about us. It's about God. It's about our need for God's mercy and God's delight in giving it.